We are going to record this, and then there's, I promised Judy that I would record it and get it to her, and there are a few other people who weren't able to make it, so we'll make sure we connect them into this conversation. So this is a new thing. We haven't done a formal address at the annual meeting before, but I thought it important at this juncture, in the 179th year of this congregation, in the fourth year of my ministry with you as your 18th senior pastor, not including interims, and your first ever lead pastor, to consider for a moment where we are and where we're going. I'm calling this the State of the Communion Address. Har har, to refer to our particular communion with one another and with God that is the First Congregational Church in Winchester, United Church of Christ. So if Jesus were to climb our front steps and bang on the door of our sanctuary, and we were to unbolt the doors, open them and say, "Hey, what's happening?" What would Jesus say to us? What would we show him of where we are and where we are going? What would he ask of us at this particular time in the story of this congregation of his? For we must remember that we are not our own, but we are God's church. And as I reminded a few folks in our new members class just last week, even though we vote on decisions at times, we are not a majority rule organization. We are a God-ruled organization with Christ as our head. Amen?
Amen? Amen.
So Jesus coming to our front doors, maybe not recognizable to us, would be like undercover boss in a way, right? But he's standing there, front steps, big doors to the sanctuary, asking, "Where are you at and where are you going here?" So we are at an important juncture at this four-year mark since the transition team work was taking place, since my ministry began with you, since Ben moved to full-time children and youth minister, since Judy to half-time associate pastor, since you developed the strategic thinking leadership team that was formed instead of the unwieldy calm, and the purpose statement for this community was articulated clearly: Christ-centered, nurturing community, growing in faith, serving in love, and welcoming all with joy. And for all intents and purposes, we are flourishing together right now. Amen?
Amen.
It's, of course, not all about numbers, but it's one indicator of health. And while we are not growing dramatically, we have to know that we are not growing dramatically in numbers of members or of worshipers, but growing to some extent. If you look in our nursery on a Sunday morning, you will often see a lot of babies in there. That's a good sign. A healthy number of kids filling our Stepping Stones classes, a growing choir, one of the best attended Easters we've had in a long time. And we're about to welcome 9 new members to join our congregation at the beginning of June. So there is something speaking to people who are coming into our doors. It seems they are getting a sense of community, of connection to God, some food for their souls that they are needing, and that's what we want. And towards that end, you hired me as lead pastor, not just to be chaplain to people already within the walls of this church, but to ensure that we are opening our doors out to the community. And I believe we have made important strides over these last years, not just expecting people to come to us, but the Easter sunrise at Loch Wright, the animal blessing on the town common, the farmer's market and town day with the music school playing on our front steps, interfaith activities that we've been engaged in, youth going from door to door asking for socks for outdoor church, beginning to open our doors for concerts, all of which has led more people to connect in who would not have known our beloved community otherwise. We've maintained faithfully our outreach ministries with the Dwelling Place and Habitat for Humanity and the Outdoor Church, and this congregation gives so much money and time to organizations doing so much good like Mission of Deeds and Woburn Council for Social Concerns and More Than Words and the Massachusetts Coalition for the Homeless and the Refugee Immigrant Ministry and the Green Congregation Team that is reminding us that we have a Christian responsibility not just to our human neighbors, but to generations down the to our non-human neighbors, the earth itself, and to human generations down the road, right? Our Christian responsibility there. I believe our undercover boss, Jesus, at the front door would find these acceptable in his sight, this work. We live in a culture that is extremely busy and stressed out. And I imagine that Jesus would also want his church to be a place of prayer and stillness and spiritual deepening in the face of all that seeks to keep us consumers and operating in on the material surface of the world. And I think that these last 4 years together have involved the deepening of our spiritual lives as well. I came here 4 years ago appreciating this wonderful faith community and the sense I had of your already deep engagement with one another, and heard clearly that you were eager for a ministry team to support you into deeper engagement with God. That was one of the things in my interviews and in the profile that came out so clearly. You already had these beautiful practices of the Reno Garden out here with the labyrinth, the lighting of candles at Lent, the service of light, the Good Friday Vigil, the healing services. And over these last 4 years, we've maintained those and added practices of centering prayer and silence and embodied prayer with yoga and Tuesdays with Jesus and a worship series where music and word and prayer integrate towards a deeper experience. Ongoing Bible studies and interfaith studies, Old and New Testament courses, and other faith-growing activities. And all of this happens in and around a big, beautiful, and somewhat consuming church building that is such an incredible asset that defines our sacred space, but can also consume us in worry if we are not careful. It is so much a part of who we are, but in no way all we are. As we all know, we would still be church without this big, beautiful building. Yet it anchors us to place as an incredible resource for our mission and our purpose. Over these last 4 years, we've worked to form a facility staffing team. That has been a big effort that can both update the building and its systems, which we are dealing with in the moment with the alarm that goes off for the ejector pump system. This replacement of the ejector pump system, which is a beautiful thing that we have, but it just needs to work correctly. And Ed and Bill and Tyler, they're working hard on it. So to update this building and its systems is a huge effort, and then care for it on an ongoing basis. Most important in this work is the hiring of Ed Banzi as our building manager, who is sitting right here, and who is helping us in a remarkable way get our heads around what it takes and will take to manage this building and all that happens herein. If you haven't met Ed, yes, Ed. Please make a point to do so. And that is just it's inadequate, but that is a quick sketch of where we find ourselves in this 179th year of our existence. So I want to move on then to what is next. Because I am convinced that this is the time right now to look further down the road and ask where to now. Now that we've fashioned a solid foundation of trust and stability and vitality in our new configuration as a church, as a ministry team, a leadership team, it's time we step, I would say, forward bravely and boldly with purpose into God's future for us. Being wary of any slothful tendencies that would have us simply maintaining where we are right now, doing just the same things while God is likely asking more of us. Because the danger, it's like what Ken was saying in his sermon, it's about, you know, being careful. The slothful tendency is going back to the fishing that we've been doing all along instead of really pressing forward into the new day. Because the danger that you located yourselves during your many years of study and engagement with one another in holy destinations and the various other efforts is that many liberal Protestant mainline churches have become turned in on themselves, bemoaning the changing world around them and their declining influence, unable and unwilling to remain supple, growing, and changing. And as a result, they faded and turned their once glorious church buildings into condos and rental spaces for other more vital organizations. The story is playing out right here in Winchester, in some faith communities among us. We know that. So it is critical that at this time we push forward, push outward, pray and dream about what God is asking of us as a congregation. Right here and right now, we need to change up the conversation. And instead of asking, how in the world do we take care of this big building? And instead of saying, how can we sustain such a large staff with our size congregation? And instead of asking, how do we protect our endowment for the future? And how do we stretch our budget for our expenses, which are rather uninspiring questions? And that just give us work to do instead of giving us something to work towards. Instead, we must be asking, imagine what we can do with this kind of real estate in Winchester, Massachusetts. I mean, I walked around with a good friend of mine who hadn't been to visit me. He lives in Connecticut. He was just up here a couple weeks ago. And he leads rhythm groups and therapy groups and that sort of thing. And he's always looking for space. And he was walking around this building with his jaw open. Oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. There is so much space here. What can happen in these walls? It was so good to see it afresh from his eyes. So instead, imagine what we can do with this kind of real estate. Or another question, how do we take our wonderful ministry team and direct their gifts and capacities to accomplish what we are inspired by God to do? That's your question to us. That's our job as a ministry team, to accomplish what you are inspired by God to do. And how can we leverage our endowment, the gifts of those who came before us, not just to survive, but to thrive in our ministries so that our ancestors are like, go, wow, this is what I left that money for. Yes, thank you.
Otherwise, they'll come haunt us.
Right, otherwise they will haunt us. Thank you, Lucy. So there's a very different sets of questions. Focus on the first set of questions alone edges us to sloth and greed and pride, while focus on the second set is more on the countervailing virtues of right action, generosity, and humility. So you hired me as your lead pastor. I'm going to emphasize that. Your lead pastor, because you wanted someone more than just a caretaker, but leadership into a transformed future. You asked me to help ensure that you were not, you would not become turned in on yourself as a congregation. That was very important to you in your profile and in our interviews. You did not want to become turned in on yourselves, but turned outward toward the town and the world, even as you grow in relationship with God. Amen.
Amen.
So towards that end, I'm challenging us to step boldly into the coming years by proposing a three-part vision for where we can go. To adapt Simon Sinek's quote, we aren't looking for more work to do here, but looking for more to work towards. So what do we as a congregation, as your leadership team and ministry team, need to work towards in the next 5 years and beyond? And that's what you all are going to be talking about at your tables as well. So obviously we are going to be continuing to worship together on a weekly basis and having stepping stones and youth group and doing the sacred holidays the beautiful way that this church does those and accomplishing our outreach commitments and other ongoing things that make us who we are as a church. But there are three areas of focus and effort that will project us mightily into God's future together and inspire our lives and deepen our faith, I believe. So first, you've already determined one of these, for sure. By raising hundreds of thousands of dollars, you determined it. And that is Ripley Chapel is going to be a significant part of how God will transform us into the future. It's got to be. It's going to be. We are already started on this, and I have to say, I am excited about it. We've already begun to develop a monthly concert series called Ripley Presents. It's taking shape, including a local roots band called Hank Wonder. In September, we're hoping. That's still not locked down, but a nationally known folk singer named Eliza Gilkison is coming in October, a bluegrass band named Atwater Donnelly in November, an amazing Celtic harpist in December, and in April, we're going to bring two published poets along here with our own published poet, Teresa Cater, for a poetry reading night, and we're going to fill in the other months with this Ripley Presents. And I tell you, it's going to be the place to be. It's going to bring people into our doors and will be a destination on the developing town, Winchester's cultural district route, which they're working on. And Ripley Chapel is going to be on the route. Churches across the centuries have always been promoters of the arts, and that's what Ripley will offer. But more than that, Ripley will also be a house of prayer in its own right, holding more alternative spiritual practices, including centering prayer sittings, healing services, Taizé evenings, yoga, and who knows what else. Our health ministry, among others, are beginning to develop some of those plans. While Ben and his children and family faith formation ministry are going to be developing programs for the youth in Ripley, so that is a reclaimed, so that it is reclaimed as a youth space, which is what it was originally built for, right? And so youth coffee houses, alternative worship, who knows what else. Ripley Chapel is going to be a significant part of our five-year plan for us. Thanks to Jenna Roy and her vision, and for all of you who stepped up and have accompanied that work and effort. So I want to set up the next two of these three parts by calling our attention to our town at large. So we are no longer the power holders and the center of the town in terms of influence and activity as we Congregationalists used to be. Even though our imposing building at the center of town on the hill still suggests it, it's simply not true anymore. In a town of 25,000 people, we have a couple hundred, give or take, worshiping on a regular basis. There are 10 other houses of worship and dozens, really it's quite remarkable, of organizations working for good in Winchester, and it's no longer funneled through the church like it used to be. But that's okay. It's been a good and necessary thing in many ways that we are no longer the power holders and influencers. We did some damage there along the way, just in general, right? We Puritans and Congregationalists. And can actually free, and I think our being more on the margins can free us up to be a deeper spiritual presence of vitality for our town, if we so choose. Because it's going to involve some work for us. We can't just wish that to be. So this past year, the town of Winchester did a significant needs assessment by talking to many stakeholders and organizations, and the results can be found on the website, on the town website. And it's being drawn into an even larger process of developing a master plan for the physical space of our town, which many of you have heard about. And I don't think it's happenstance that we are feeling at a juncture here in the life of our church, just as the town is at a major juncture as well. But I believe it is God's Spirit at work, God inviting us to listen to those closest around us, to our town, and consider how we can be faithfully and caringly responsive to what our town is saying. This is what we're worried about. This is what concerns us. These are the gaps. What do we do about it? And the question is, we as this church in the center of town, how do we respond? So what came out of the needs assessment and other conversations around town were five areas of concern and need. The top three that came out of the needs assessment were affordable housing, youth behavioral and mental health issues, and the needs of older adults. Now, in personal conversation and in other circles, I had a conversation with one of the people that kind of led that. And he did say that the needs assessment was a little tilted towards the older generations in town. Because what is really true that didn't show up at the top three of the needs assessment, but is true of our town in hearing from people, is that the fourth need is the is given the cost of living here in Winchester, there are fewer and fewer families, couples, that can have one person at home taking care of their kids. So both parents are needing to be out. And there is a huge need for after-school programming, huge. In one of the after-school programs right now, there is a 3-year waiting list. And the fifth area of concern for our town that has been taken hold of by the select board is the felt need to be responsive to the ecological crisis of our time and how we as a town live sustainably on this beautiful piece of earth. Those are the five needs. So this is my challenge to us, church. I believe in the next 5 years, we not only need to develop Ripley into a place for the youth, spirituality and the arts, and a house of prayer, but that we need to be joining in faithfully and fully in the greening efforts of Winchester through our own step-by-step process of greening this building, which is not only our responsibility to the earth, which is the Lord's and all that is therein, but which is also resonant with our figuring out how in the world do we live in this big building, right? The two go beautifully hand in hand. The Winchester Select Board unanimously voted on an ambitious goal that our town will have net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050, with a commitment to cut emissions by 40% by 2030 and 60% by 2040, and then the rest by 2050. The building that started this town, because we were here before there was a town, the building that started this town and the community therein needs to be at the forefront of these efforts to sustain this town and this beautiful earth that the town is situated upon for generations to come. We've already begun the conversation about the potential for solar panels on our roof, and there are many ways that our church can be gentler on the earth and be advocates for ecological responsibility, front and center advocates. I've already got a tagline for us if we decide to go solar. All right? Ready for this? Sun-powered buildings, God-powered lives. Thank you very much. So that's number two. And then here's my final challenge, or invitation, however you want to take it, that I think God could be calling us to in the years ahead. And it's developing and implementing an religious after-school program. Our youth have now gone down to the Philly Project a few years in a row. And Ben and Dave, a couple of years ago, Dave Weir and Ben, when they returned, were saying, they were so excited about the Philly Project and saying, this is what we need to do up here in Winchester. And with youth behavioral and mental health being such a concern in of our town, and after-school programming being such a huge need, the project could be just the thing for us to do in response as a church. Here we sit in this big, beautiful, spacious building with incredible people among us, with wonderful gifts, and I believe we can leverage it all the better for the sake of our children. So if you walk up the steps to our front doors, there's a stained glass window above the two doors. Do you know what it says? Anyone?
Sun
Not yet, not yet. It's a picture of Jesus with adults and children gathering to him, and it says, "Come unto me." And it's an image from the scripture, "The little children, let the little children come unto me, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." So what about an after-school program for the children of our town that is not apologetic about being religious even, but is progressive in its Christian stance and approach, encouraging children, not that we would be exclusive about that, but about being Christians, but that it would be progressive in its approach, encouraging children in their relationship with the divine, encouraging the virtues that run counter to the deadly sins of our culture, giving them an opportunity more than 30 minutes on a Sunday morning, an opportunity to develop their faith and to be more resilient as they become teens in this demanding and stressful place. To say, I'd love to help lead us into that future with these things before us, with our leadership team and our ministry team. I am convinced that if we push into such things, they will have enormous effect, not only on our town, but on our communal lives as a church and on our spiritual lives as individuals and as a church. And that vitality will come, will abound. And even in the journey, who knows where God will take us if we set out on it. I just have a few more sentences, but this might be the time. I have one visual aid, thank you. In the day of technology and moving into the future, there's one visual aid here. Anne Henneke has come upon the most incredible treasure trove of rolled up scrolls like this. And look what they are. There are 50 or 60 of them.
Lift it up at all?
Can you pull it together? Isn't that beautiful? So they are, we have like, how many of these?
Dozens.
Okay, we have dozens of these, and they're the sketches of many of our stained glass windows. And there's been a conversation here and there about, I mean, not all of them are this big, but I mean, could we frame some of them, and could that be a display in Ripley one of these days, and that sort of thing. But I just thought this was, I mean, it's just beautiful, isn't it? The black and white of it, and that sort of thing. So when Jesus stands at the door and knocks years down the road, I want to grab his hand and bring him and say, look at this Ripley Chapel, a house of prayer and a place where we, like churches have done for millennia, are promoting the arts and encouraging beauty in this world. And then I want to pull him around to see not only our solar panels, but the ways that the church is finding ways to live renewably without doing damage to God's earth. And then to say, come out to the front porch and say, your children, the ones that you said come unto me, they're coming through these doors and receiving care and love and a sense of peace and acceptance and deepening their relationship with you.